I definitely have learned through the years to pray a lot more. We have a lot of work to do as moms. You know, we're busy. You know, it sometimes feels like we're busy all night with that nursing baby and then all day long with our children. And that's good work. We're supposed to do the work. But I think as the kids especially have gotten older, I've realized how much more I need to pray. How much more before I go to speak and say something to an older child, I need to spend a lot of time praying, praying that the Lord will impress that upon their heart. Praying for wisdom to know when to say something and when to just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit say something to them. So I think, and that's all God's grace, because it, you know, that is not any kind of boasting. That is the Lord teaching me the hard way when I spoke too soon, when I tried to do too much, and instead of helping, it just hurt.
Welcome to Homeschool Conversations with Humility and Doxology, a series of interviews with real-life homeschool moms, dads, and other educators on all sorts of topics that affect our lives as homeschool parents. I'm Amy Sloan, a second-generation homeschool mom of five, and I am so delighted that you are here. Here on Homeschool Conversations, we'll discuss educational philosophy, family life, and more. Come chat with us. Hello, friends. Today we are joined by Heather Tully. Heather is a wife and mama to 10 children whose age range currently spans from toddlers to college age. She spends most of her time homeschooling her currently six students. A passion of Heather's is photography, especially in capturing the everyday, which helps to see the wonders that God does in our ordinary days. And she also loves a good book, coffee, time outside, and nature journaling. So I can definitely get behind the book and the coffee. I know we're going to be friends. Well, Heather, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and how you guys came to homeschooling?
Yeah, I'm Heather. Been married 21 years to my husband, Eric. We're currently living in Georgia. We've been here about 11 years now. Started out in Ohio, where we met when he was military. So my youngest is three all the way up to age 20. So this year we have one college student and she lives at home. She commutes, but she's here, which I'm really grateful for. And then my high school senior is doing dual enrolling completely online. So he's home, but I kind of feel like, you know, he's becoming that college student. And then I have a 16-year-old and 14, it kind of goes every other year, 14 and 12-year-old who are in the same grade, and then 11, 8, and then 7, and then a 5 and a 3-year-old. So two toddlers and six students this year. We talked about homeschooling before we got married. I had been homeschooled off and on, mostly junior high into middle school. Went back to homeschooling and then did dual enrolling at college and ended early. So I had a little bit of experience with homeschooling. My husband did not. He went to public school, wasn't a believer at the time, so it was kind of new to him. But we knew we wanted a culture where we could be with the children to teach them out the day, not just in the evenings or in the mornings. We really wanted to have strong family bonds and fellowship. So that was really important to us. So I think it was just something we always did. We never even thought about anything else. When we started, things have changed since then because, you know, we were learning as we went. I had never taught phonics. I had, all that was new, but I think we just never questioned. We just kind of knew our family was going to be revolving around the homeschooling circle. So,
and how has your approach to homeschooling, you know, kind of grown and changed over the years as you've gained more experience?
Yeah. So when we started, it was more purely classical. And it's what I had read a book about. A friend gave it to me, and it was really exciting because I love history. As a little girl, I loved history and I still do. And so I really liked the emphasis on history. I loved how rigorous it looked to us. So we kind of started down that pathway. And I think through the years, about 2016, we kind of made a turn and did more of a Charlotte Mason approach. And that came about for two things. One, Dawn Garrett, I know you've had Dawn on your podcast. Dawn and I used to live close together. So we did some book studies and discussed things. I read Karen Glass's Consider This. And that for me was eye-opening because I had always thought Charlotte Mason was in one camp and classical was in the other and the two would never meet. And part of that was I had seen people class Charlotte Mason homeschooling, but I think it was more of a unschooling approach. And for me, I was like, well, I don't think that works for my family. Like, I need more structure. And so I thought if you did Charlotte Mason, you didn't have any structure. You didn't have a curriculum. And so when I started to talk to Dawn and started to do some reading, actually started to read some of Charlotte Mason's volumes, it was eye-opening. I was struggling. I used to laugh and say that we classically unschooled because I could never get to everything like on that to-do list. We went 19 years of being pregnant or having a nursing baby straight. And so it was, you know, when you're very busy with lots of littles, you can make this really long to-do list for your homeschooling and you don't get to all of it. But I think that was God's grace because I think I would have tended to try to do too much, especially in those early years. And God kind of prevented it by giving us lots of little people to take care of. Yeah, I think that's kind of how our approach has changed through the years. Still classical. Now I realize they're not at odds with each other, but also more of a bent with the Charlotte Mason now.
Yeah, well, and it has not come out yet at the time of our chat, but I think by the time your episode goes live, I got a chance to talk to Karen Glass recently. And so that was such a fun discussion, just sort of delving more deeply into what you were just saying with her book, Consider This, which I read for the first time earlier this year, and just, you know, seeing how, you know, classical ideas and Charlotte Mason are not somehow mutually exclusive or, Well, let's talk about kind of the nitty-gritty of being a mom of many. So you have, you know, 10 children, as we mentioned earlier. And so first, I just wanted to say, like, what is your favorite part of having a large family?
Yeah, my favorite part is sometimes the hardest part, and that's feeding everybody. I really like big groups. I even love to have other people. I love making food, usually with them. There's always at least one kid in the kitchen, if not more. And just sitting a big meal and discussing things. I always laugh that Tully's like to talk. We like to debate and we like to discuss things sometimes rather loudly. And so a meal just makes that so possible. And it's such a wonderful way to invite other people into our homes. So I think even though it can be one of the hardest aspects with homeschooling, getting to food, it's one of my favorite things about having a large family. I didn't have sisters growing up, and so I love watching their interactions together. There's just a neat family dynamic of watching these older children help with the little ones, take them for a walk or read them a book, and watching the girls play together. You know, you have to work to be alone in our house. And so there's a place for that, but there's always somebody there to do something with. And I love seeing that. I love seeing their relationship growing as they get older, and feeding them. Yeah. They're always.
I love that part of homeschooling. It's just one of my favorite things is seeing those relationships, like you were saying, especially, you know, the relationships between children that might not otherwise, you know, necessarily seem to share much in common with their interests or personalities or, you know, a wide age span. But to have that, just that time to have the relationship is so precious. It's such a good gift that God gives us in homeschooling. So.
Yeah, it gives an opportunity to teach a lot of humility. You know, there's a lot of forgiving that goes on when you've got a large family. And so that part of it's also hard, but it's also really beautiful to see their relationships growing as they have to learn to be patient with, you know, that toddler who's really loud and you're trying to do your lessons or has a ton of energy. And for, you know, a big kid to say, hey, I'll take him for a walk for a little bit. And just to see that growing is really special. And I think, well, if they were off to school, it's not very likely my high schooler would be spending much time with a toddler. And being home, he gets to be a part of that. So.
Well, what are some of the challenges that come with homeschooling a large family?
Well, connecting with like individual children can be really hard. I mean, it's, you know, there's just so many of them. I think I've said that so many times when I've been praying, Lord, there's so many of them and there's only one of me. But I actually, almost every morning, I wake up and I pray, okay, Lord, show me who needs me today. Who needs that extra hug? Who needs that word of wisdom? Who needs a listening ear? Help me see which child really needs mama today and just press that in my heart because I want to be really aware of, I want to make sure one doesn't fall through the crack, right? We've got some that are really quiet. It can be easy to notice like the boisterous child and it can be really easy to forget that quiet one. So, that's a big part of it. So we, you know, I pray, we try to make sure that we take the kids when we're going to go on an errand, my husband and I like take one child with us. I love coffee. So, you know, take a child to have coffee and just let them talk. And it usually doesn't take a lot. I just have to start the conversation and they will start talking. Go for a walk, you know, around the neighborhood, just mama, or maybe mama and one other sibling. And so that's really big and that's a challenge, but I think the Lord is, that is also another area where our children learn to be patient with us as parents and patient with each other. Okay, this sibling needs mom. I need to give her time to let mama have that. So I'm going to go over here with these little ones while mom has this time with a brother or sister. So, and then, you know, my favorite part of feeding everyone is also definitely the hardest part with a large family, and teaching the kids to come along and help is really useful. The hardest part probably is grocery shopping at this point. Like, I don't know when to grocery shop. By the time I get done homeschooling everyone, they need to eat dinner. So grocery shopping is a struggle. Amazon Prime comes a few times a week.
Oh, yes. Nice. Well, you know, granted, we're a family of seven, so not even quite as many mouths to feed. But even so, sometimes it takes like the two crock pot dinner, or it's not so much that you, you know, I would love to buy more groceries at a time and go to the grocery store less often, but I just run out of room in the refrigerator. So... Well, how do you balance, you know, the academic needs when you're homeschooling multiple children at different ages and grades through the day?
Yeah. So we start morning time. We've called it morning time. We've called it circle time. I think in the early years, we called it memory time. And so we have done that since Patricia was three. So this is my 17th year. And that has always been a way for me to bring everybody together. It helps to build a little bit of family culture because we're studying things together as a family. But it also helps me cover a whole bunch of different subjects at one time. And so things like, you know, we've always done Bible, poetry, catechism since Patricia was little. And then through the years, we've added things in, you know, reading a history book, reading a literature book, folk songs. We do a lot more singing these days. You had asked what changed through the years. And in the early years, I think I put more of an emphasis on memory work, especially during our morning time. We still memorize, but I think through the years we've begun to read more. The stack of books that we read through is just huge. And sometimes it's ridiculous. Sometimes I have to be like, okay, pull it back. We can finish a book before you start one. start reading and we sing a lot more as a family. And so that's one big way that I meet academic, and it combining things is always very helpful in a large family. So everybody doesn't need to do their own history cycle. You can choose one. You know, this year we're doing ancients. And so you can choose that, and then you can choose different books for the different ages of children, but you're all in the same stream. And so that helps just with your mind as a mom versus it going all over the place. I have set blocks of when I meet with my different children. So I usually start meeting with the littles first. It just seems to help their day go better if they can get a little time with mama. Make sure, you know, phonics is just so crucial for later independent learners. And I've had the gamut of very early, not even 4-year-old reading up to it, not until 10 reading. And so, phonics is just one of those things that sometimes it takes a long time, but it needs one-on-one instruction with mom. So I try to make sure I meet with those children who are doing phonics first in the day. But then I have during the day when I meet with different age of children and we go over their independent work, review maybe things like Latin, they can show me their narrations and we can talk about them. So it doesn't always happen. You have to have a lot of flexibility with a big family. You know, there's interruptions to the schedule, but it helps to have a kind of a set time on the calendar. When they were a lot younger, it wasn't really a set time on the schedule as much as it was just a loop schedule. So I'm going to meet with Patricia last, and then Benjamin, and then Matthias, and then just loop around. And so I didn't get to you yesterday, you're first today. Now that I've got older children, I'm not having any nursing babies, we tend to be able to follow more of a timetable. But a loop schedule, like that saved me in the early years. I'm all about looping. Like we loop science books, we loop history, we loop morning time. It's just your sanity because you can't get to everything every day. And it brings a lot of peace to know, okay, we didn't read this book, we'll start there tomorrow. You know, you didn't fail, you just pick up there tomorrow. I do a lot of summer planning. We didn't always take summers off when we had lots of nursing babies. We just went year round because, you know, you take a break when a baby's born. But I try to do a lot of pre-reading. I try to read ahead because we use living books. I try to read ahead where my independent readers are going to be reading so that I can kind of see what ideas are in the book. Does this book need an experiment prep? Do we need maps ready? Is this reading appropriate for this child? And so I try to do a lot of that now in the summer. And I can't get it all done for the school year. So that becomes kind of my main reading throughout the year, reading a week or two ahead of the children. But if I can lay out the plans before we start the school year, there's just a lot of peace. Because during the school year, it's just... it's like sink or swim. You're just going. Like there is no, the day is over so quickly. And so I don't have time to plan out like what lesson comes next. And so I'm kind of a planner by nature. And so it helps me to have it on paper and then just to hold it loosely, to know that, you know, in the Lord's providence and in his goodness, we might not get to everything and that's okay. But you need somewhere to go. You need some kind of guidance.
Well, and it eliminates that decision fatigue too, because you just get so tired. Even though it's a good thing, it's a good tired, but you don't need that extra brain pressure of trying to think, wait, what are we supposed to do next? It's nice if you just have the big picture plan in place, you know right where you're going, you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, and kids ask enough questions. I don't need to be one turning my own. So I think, yeah, for sure. It's just a lot of peace to know what comes next on the schedule. And it's very peaceful for older children too. I have one who, he just really likes to know what's ahead of him for the week. much. And when he doesn't know what's ahead of him for the week, it's really hard for him. So giving him that plan and that course of action, boys just seem to be like, I need to conquer this, right? I need to go out and do this. So, and thankfully, like in the early years, we did Ambleside for years. This year we're trying CMEC out and we've loved it, but they help with the planning. So I don't do it from scratch. I don't have the time, but I'm always in awe of these moms who are like, I just made everything. And I'm like, wow. So that gives me the stepping stones, but then you have to adjust it because I like to combine books. You know, I don't want everyone in a separate book, because I don't have time to pre-read all of that or read it aloud, because I've had late readers. I have to read aloud a lot. So if I'm reading aloud a book, I'm going to see how many children I can fit into that book. And then with, you know, balancing their academics, we've gotten creative through the years. We've done things like a co-op. So good friends have taught my children literature or a writing class or Latin. My husband has taught a few books per year. It kind of depends. We've gone through Dr. Grant's course in years past and he taught that. So he read everything. He listened to the lectures and they would meet with daddy. And he's done that for science. This year he's doing it for Plato and economics with the high schoolers. And so that's such a blessing for me because it helps take some things off of my plate. And also they get time to interact with dad, which is always such a blessing.
Hey guys, it's the holiday season, and that means the opportunity to get out all of our favorite Thanksgiving and Christmas picture books. Every year, it's one of my favorite parts of the holiday season, returning to our family favorites and trying new fun titles. So we are already ready with our Thanksgiving picture books and are going to start putting some of those Christmas books on hold at the library soon. So if you would like to know some of our family favorites, you can head to humilityanddoxology.com. I have a Thanksgiving book list, a free download for you there, as well as a Christmas book download. Or if you just want a really easy clickable list, you can head to amazon.com/shop/humilityanddoxology. Again, that's amazon.com/shop/humilityanddoxology. And if I've left off one of your family favorites, I would love it if you would leave me a message via email or record an audio message and let me know what new Thanksgiving and Christmas books our family should try this year. Well, let me ask you a question sort of about, well, I mean, I guess it does apply to homeschooling because parenting is the trickiest part of homeschooling sometimes. But, you know, when my big kids sometimes get a little irritated when they see me parenting their younger siblings because they say, you know, oh, you would never have let us do this, that, or the other, or whatever. And I tell them, well, I'm a better mom. Like, I've learned how to be a better mom. I'm sorry, big kids, but, you know, you were my guinea pigs. I'm still learning, of course, by God's grace. But what are some of the things that you notice or things that you've learned that you do differently with your younger children than, you know, when you were a first-time mom?
Yeah. I was thinking a lot about this one. I definitely have learned through the years to pray a lot more. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do as moms. You know, we're busy. You know, it sometimes feels like we're busy all night with that nursing baby and then all day long with our children. And that's good work. We're supposed to do the work. But I think as the kids especially have gotten older, I've realized how much more I need to pray. How much more before I go to speak and say something to an older child, I need to spend a lot of time praying that the Lord will impress that upon their heart. Praying for wisdom to know when to say something and when to just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit say something to them. So I think, and that's all God's grace, because it, you know, that is not any kind of boasting. That is the Lord teaching me the hard way when I spoke too soon, when I tried to do too much, and instead of helping, it just hurt. And so, that's the beauty of having those different ages in our home, is that you've got these big kids, you know, and their bedtime's like here, and you've got younger kids who are like, what, you know, and slowly through the years, like the younger kids' bedtime has gone up, right?
100%.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, well, you're up, so they might as be up. Like, you know, so some of those things are kind of comical, or, you know, like, Mom, we never watched this movie until this age. And it was like, well, you know, we're trying to do family time. So we're just,
oh, yes, that is so our experience too. Yeah.
You know, some of those things are kind of fun. I hope, you know, I really pray that I've learned to enjoy my children more. You know, I pray that I'm smiling more, and I pray that that's part of the beauty of, like, we've learned to do nature walks. We didn't do that in the beginning, nature journaling. And that has been such a beautiful way for me to just enjoy my children, because you're going out in the world, and we go with a group because I need the accountability. Otherwise, I'm like, oh, it's a little cold. Let's not go. So I need the accountability. But we go, and it's just, there's these things they find, and they're so quick to come and show you, and there's such joy, and it helps me to slow down. Versus, I think if I was home, I'd be like, okay, there's laundry to do, and there's dishes, and, you know, let's read it, you know, let's finish this math lesson we didn't do earlier. And so that has been a great step in learning to just spend time with my children and enjoy them and learn alongside of them, which has been, it's just been a really beautiful thing.
I so appreciated what you said about learning to pray more than being so quick to speak. And I think that is, the Lord is so good to humble us, right? To sometimes humiliate us for our good, to really see that, you know, I came into parenting really, even though I could have said it was going to be by God's grace, with my mouth, my actions and my heart really were more like, no, I'm going to do this great thing, and I'm going to parent well, and I'm going to homeschool well, and it's going to just like create this perfect little product. And over time, having to really repent of that pride really. And it's so much more of a peaceful place to be, to realize that it is God at work in the hearts of our children, not us.
It's so peaceful and so encouraging to remember they're first His. You know, and sometimes when you hold that baby, you can kind of forget that, because you're so busy doing and you need to be doing. But these are the Lord's children first. And they're also our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And as they get older, that relationship kind of shifts. They still need to be respectful. You know, you still have your household rules that they're going to be like, what? I will never do that. And you're like, that's fine. When it's your home, you can do that. But, you know, there's also a lot that you just realize, would I want to say that to another Christian? You know, would I want to assume that? Like, Lord, make me more long-suffering. You know, we're walking this journey together, more so as they get older, versus they're kind of following you and doing what you do. They start to take their own path as they get a little older, and it does look like what we think it's going to look like. As when they were little, you think, oh, this is the way they're going to go. And the Lord's like, no, they're mine. They're going to go this way. And just praying for the humility to rejoice in that and to see all the glorious things God's doing in His time in them. And it's great fun. I love discussing and talking with them and seeing their passions. So it's a lot of fun. They stay up really late. They don't like to get up in the morning. I'm a morning person. So, you know, I have to, you know, but that's okay. It stretches me a little bit. So, but it's a great delight to see the Lord working in them. And that was the beauty too of Charlotte Mason helped me to see that I didn't have to teach everything to them. Charlotte Mason says that, you know, you're a guide, you're a philosopher, and you're a friend. And the emphasis really becomes on the child taking their learning on for themselves. You are to glean the ideas from what you read. I don't need to tell you the key points of what you read in a certain paragraph. You tell me what was important to you and why from that passage. Why was that important? What, you know? And that helps that child not only take ownership, it also helps me be more humble because I'm not the one with all the answers. And I needed to have some humility, you know, from those early days. I needed to learn that it, you know, it's not just my way. I needed to have that humility with my children and learn with them. It changes the tone. There's a lot more peace. There's less pressure on me as a mom because I don't have to have all the answers. So together, this year we can learn botany, you know, and it's, you know, it throws me out of my comfort zone, but we can do it together. And they always surpass you, which is always good.
Oh, I love that. Well, Heather, so we have academics and we have, you know, the parenting, but then somehow we're also supposed to keep the house running. Can you please help me? What are your favorite strategies for keeping the household running in the midst of a full, you know, homeschool life?
Well, first, I had to embrace the fact that it's going to be messier than I realized it was going to be. Like, I think my husband and I joke that God gave us 10 children because he had to teach us to let things go because he had been in the military. I'm a very organized person. And when you have a big family and you're homeschooling, the house gets messy really quick. You know, it's just you send those toddlers off to play and it's just like a bomb goes off at the end of the day. But I have a choice. Either I can have a really, really neat house where there's no learning, there's no joy because we're constantly cleaning, or we can have peace. So I've had to learn to let some things go and embrace kind of the messiness. But we always say many hands make light work. So we have a time at the end of the day when I'm like, okay, all hands on deck. We're going to have our chore time. Everybody has assigned chores. Mama too. We're working alongside each other. And it doesn't take long when you have a big family, when everybody's pitching in. And knowing there's a time at the end of the day helps me to leave it. So I'm not like, oh, go pick up, you know, or go put that away, because I know at the end of the day we can get to it. So I actually have a timer on my phone. Okay, this is the time everybody gather. So that's a big part of it. I'm always doing laundry. Like, I start laundry the moment I wake up in the morning and pretty much do laundry until I go to bed. I often listen to narrations while I'm doing laundry. It's probably not very Charlotte Mason-y because I'm not focusing on the child, but I've got a lot of laundry. So there, you know, always do laundry. Like, if you can keep laundry in the refrigerator full, you can pretty much run a house. And I always loved Elizabeth Elliot used to say, do the next thing. So I am a planner by nature, but I need to sometimes just do the next thing and not worry about how this fits into the weekly schedule or what are we going to do in 6 months from now. Like, just hear this work is before you, focus on this, and the Lord will provide for the next thing. So that helps me be at peace. And you know, my attitude is so hard because you don't want it this way as moms, but really and truly our attitude just has this rippling effect. And so if I can be at peace, it helps. It doesn't mean your children are going to be like, well, mom's peaceful, I'll be peaceful. They can still choose not to be peaceful, but it helps so much. So focusing on what matters. I mean, an organized home helps because, you know, when you go to teach math, you really do need the math book on the shelf. We had this conversation today. Like, if the math book's not there, I can't teach you math. So, you know, you really do need to put your stuff away. But, you know, you have to have a lot of patience because you're teaching them habits, and habits take time to build. But our kids work, they help me because mama can't do it herself.
I know it's going to be so sad when all my kids are grown and I have to start cleaning the bathroom again.
I know. Or like several nights a week, my children make dinner. And so I'm like, ooh, what's that going to look like when I have to make dinner like every night of the week? But, you know, that maybe there'll be grandkids. I keep thinking maybe I'll have the grandkids come over.
Cook with the grandkids. Well, this season of the Homeschool Conversations podcast, I'm asking all of my guests the same two questions. So let me first ask you, what are you reading lately?
Yeah, so I just started a new one. I wrote down the name so I wouldn't forget. It's called The Tech Wise Family. And it's by Andy, I think it's Crouch. And so it's short. It's not a intense read. It's very easy to read. I took it with us to ortho appointments this week. But it's talking about how to use technology wisely and how to go about just kind of putting some guidelines on it. But what I loved about it, he says there's not one way to do it that is for all families. And his daughter writes in the preface, and she talks about how growing up this way helped her to see the wonder of the world outside of screens. And I'm very big on that word wonder. And I'm very purposeful in trying to see the wonder of God's creation and the wonder he's doing in my children, in our lives. And so that really hit on me and like perked my interest. And so, you know, when you've got college students, you know, they're working online, you know, you've got children, my big kids have phones, not my younger ones. There's just a lot of screens in our home. So it's a constant push and pull and, you know, just praying for wisdom. So I'm excited. I'm not very far, but it seems really good.
I have to add that to my list. That sounds good. Cause I have been, you know, thinking more, especially this year, I feel like even more things are on screens because classes or activities that maybe would have been in person now have moved online. And so, you know, especially my older teen is pretty much at the computer for all the online stuff. Mm-hmm. And then his, you know, the papers he's writing, everything is sitting at a screen. And some of that's unavoidable and not necessarily bad, but I feel like some of it's just sort of happened without me thinking about it being, and I would rather be purposeful. So I'll have to add that book to my list.
And I'm also reading Karen Glass's In Vital Harmony. So we have a local Charlotte Mason group and the moms meet once a month for a book study. So we're not very far in, but it's such a great book. I'm really, really excited about that one. So, and I need a new fiction book. So I'm going to have to probably go to my daughter's shelves. And she always gives me lots of ideas and pick a new fiction book because I finished one this week. So that one is yet to be decided. But most of my reading during the school year is reading for the kids. But I try to have books always going for me. Fit it in those spare moments.
Yes. Well, Heather, if you were talking to a new homeschool parent, what would be the encouragement you would give to them?
Smile. enjoy like your children. Like you don't have to figure everything out, especially if you're new. Enjoy the process. I think there's a lot of people homeschooling right now and they don't know where they'll be in 6 months. They don't know where they'll be next year. And that's okay. You can enjoy being with your children at home right now. And you know, I think my personality is I get so busy doing, I forget to stop and see all these glorious things God's doing in our homeschool and in our children. And that's why I kind of went into photography, is because I wanted to see better what was going on in our everyday life. And so I think especially mamas, and you're worried that you're not going to teach everything correctly, or, you know, will your child ever learn how to read or math, like, you know, what be it, or maybe science experiments. So don't forget to enjoy the process and enjoy your children. And I think it's really good to take time to think through why you're homeschooling. you know, people always want to go to, what are you teaching? You know, what do you use for grammar? What are you using for Latin? And that's a good question. But why do you want to teach grammar? You know, what is your view of your children? And think through the principles behind your educating your children. And it, you know, that takes a little while, and it's going to grow, and it's going to expand as you study. But I think it's a really, it'll help make, I think, your homeschooling journey more enjoyable and fuller than just teaching spelling and just teaching math and science. It's so much richer than just a subject. It's a way of living with our children. So yeah, but you can do this. Like, God gave you your kids. You know, it was his purpose to give you your child, you know, and he doesn't make mistakes. And so that child that's struggling, whether it be math or a teenager who's struggling, like, the Lord is using you as a blessing for that child. So lean into the Lord, pray, you know, pray a lot, and he'll work out his purposes in time. He loves you and he loves your children. And I think, you know, the older my kids get, you just cling to that. Like, the Lord loves us and he's working out his goodwill in our family in his timing.
Such a good encouragement, no matter how long we have been homeschooling, whether we're new or not, that is where our hope lies. And so that was a good encouragement. Thank you. I needed to hear that today myself. Oh, Heather, where can people find you online and your beautiful photography?
Oh, thank you. I'm on Instagram, so Heather Tully Photography. Share pictures there, share a little bit about what I'm reading.
And I will link that up in the show notes for this episode at humilityanddoxology.com. Thank you, Heather, for taking the time to chat with us today. I know this is going to encourage a lot of homeschool moms. Thanks for listening in on this week's Homeschool Conversation. For show notes and links to all the resources we discussed, head to humilityanddoxology.com/homeschool-conversations. And if these episodes are an encouragement to you, would you take a moment to leave a rating and review and to share with your friends? I am so thankful that you are here on this adventure with me. Let's repent of our constant striving, relish the joy of learning, and rest in the work of Christ on our behalf. Stand fast, my friends.